Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Here's an offer you don't want to miss. For just $3, treat yourself to a Krispy Kreme donut, like their irresistible chocolate donut with sprinkles, and an any size hot coffee or refreshing iced tea. Just three. Whether you're fueling up for the day or just taking a sweet break, this deal is for you. Price and participation may vary. Offer valid December 10th through April 30th, 2025 at participating McDonald's while supplies last. Krispy Kreme and associated trademarks used under license. Copyright 2024 KKDC. Copyright 2024 McDonald's.
Off the ball, GAA.
Hooks are not allowed in hurling, lads. Seamus might disagree with me and say it was soft, but he stood him up, but he had his hands around him and he literally hugged him.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own, he gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line, try for Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. Off the Ball, Rory O'Hagan here with you, along with Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes. As we look back on a win over the Scarlets the past weekend, Munster made hard work of it. We'll get into the weeds of that in just a little bit. We'll also look ahead to Munster's run coming up over the next weeks and months, and we'll look ahead to Ireland versus Wales in the Six Nations as well. So that's all to come in this episode of the Red 78 on Off the Ball. Alan, Fiona, great to see you guys. How are you?
Good, Rory.
Funny, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, very good. I was probably not so good Saturday night after commentating on the game because it was very up and down, and good result in the end for Munster, obviously bonus point win. But yeah, other than that, good. Really important result for Munster.
Yeah, it was a good ticket to win. Yeah. Yeah, good win for Munster. They need to get back on it after a 3-week gap. We'll discuss that in just a little bit. Some comments, though, reaching us, Fiona, on the show today.
Yeah, thanks again for sending the comments in. I think we had a few in here, so we'll start with... we can chat about it at the end. I'll read out the three we got and we can have a delve into it. Then JJ Casey, any chance Coombs or Hodnett will make the bench for the Wales game? Coombs, not only with his tries, but with his link-up play, has seen a big improvement, and Hodnett's dynamic play is creating lots of scoring chances. John Cotter, I've been banging this drum all season, but why are Munster not kicking points? They're going to the corner with bang average line out a mall. That game should have been done and done by half time if they had kicked their points. They're scoring plenty of tries in open play. And then we have Keane McGibney as well wrote, with Caelan Doris being ruled out, will that open the door for Gavin Coombs to come onto the bench for the Welsh game? Regards from Keane.
Talk about that, I suppose, a little bit when we talk about the Ireland and Wales game. Just take up that point there, actually, Quinny. Why aren't Munster kicking points? Why are they going to the corner every time?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a really good point. There's a balance to that, really. It depends on the kind of momentum and flow of the game and the opportunities that present themselves. It's a trend throughout the game now, isn't it? Even in junior rugby, people are kicking to the corner now. They're watching what the international teams are doing, the provincial teams, the top 14, Gallagher Premiership, all that. So, URC. It's I suppose you have to have a confidence, and you work and train and practice these situations. And the whole idea when I was playing is you went to the corner with a view to not coming out without a score. You might get that first time, but you win the ball. You may get another penalty. You put that squeeze and that pressure on the opposition. But Munster's Maul hasn't been, it's improved at times this year. And it's something we've spoken about the last couple of seasons. When you're lacking that power, if you had John Klein, Edwin Adogbo, R.G. Snyman last year, the last couple of seasons, you have different sorts of power. And you go back to 2023 when they, were scoring. They started that URC final against the Stormers in Cape Town. It was a Maul try. I think two tries came from Maul. So... it's a very, very powerful weapon. You could ask the same question with Ireland at times. We go to the corner. So it's just a trend that's changing the game. It's one that comes up a fair bit. I would have thought, the other night. It's all part of the bonus point system and, going for the four tries and tries are possibly available. Teams change their mindset. But there is still a very strong place in in the game for taking your points, and just a lot of teams, not just Munster, a lot of teams are not taking those chances. I always say when I'm doing commentary, well, it's a great decision if you go to the corner and score, and then it's a bad decision if you don't have the shot at goal. And, you know, if you miss out on the 3 points and get nothing, obviously when you kick to the corner and you score, it's always the right decision. But it's getting the balance of that. And you know, a fair bit, you know, you have to applaud teams for two, but there has to be the data and the analysis has to back up the result of getting tries, and you know, at times Munster or not. But look, end results, Munster win 29-8. So the try that was chalked off early on, you know, that got the we'll say the required result with them all and working that try off it. But yeah, it can be frustrating for people at times. So you're asking me why aren't Munster going to the corner? Well, there's loads of different reasons, and it's coming from the coaching, it's coming from preparation, but I think everybody is starting to become a bit more mindful of getting points on the board as well. So, you know, I don't know why, and particularly when you don't have a serious weapon who's continuously getting a tries.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, like, you look at it on paper, like Munster 28-29-8 win, bonus point, when you think, all right, this is decent, but like, far from a cracking contest, I think it's safe to say, on Saturday.
Yeah, Rory, I think that first half in particular was, they'd be disappointed with the errors. I think they turned over the ball 14 times in the game. I'd say a lot of them were in that first half in particular. Things didn't seem to click in. When they'd get a bit of momentum, it almost felt like something was going wrong. So they'd be very, very frustrated with that. I think they'd only to make very few tackles in the game as well. So it wasn't like it was a big defensive effort required. It was just nailing the detail around that. So I certainly that first half in particular, but you have to give credit for them in that final third to come out and get those tries and go for that bonus point as well in the corner. I think it was the 81st minute when Farrell went over. So they kept the foot down. They're trying new things. I thought the Shane McCarthy try off the line out was a nice thing to see. You know, we saw that breakaway and then the switch and pop back inside, stuff like that. I think excites fans, excites Thomond Park, you know, to get those little moves in, see them coming off after a frustrating first half was really good. They'd 86% territory, you know, so they had a lot of the ball, and it was quite frustrating to watch. But certainly, I think Ian Costello said the last third in particular was really good, was outstanding. And you could see that they were going for it, really wanted that bonus point win. So yes, it wasn't the best performance, but certainly to come out and get those 29 points against the Scarlets team, probably not at their best, but they still got the job done. And that's what we were talking about as well last week, about that bonus point win. So they'll be frustrated with the first half, but as the coach, I think how they finish the game, you'll take a lot from that as well. And some big moments as well, some big games. Coombs, I mean, I know he was called into camp, we'll probably chat about that in a while, but I thought he was absolutely superb in the ball carrying area, just getting over the gain line. We talked about lack of big ball carriers. He certainly stood up in this game, I thought.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Well, you were slightly wary of the Scarlets last week heading into the game, but they were disappointing, I think, is the right way to describe
well,
it.
Not disappointing if you're a Munster, obviously. you know, I think, but watching the game, I thought they'd be offer a lot more. I think they were dreadful, to be honest. They were very physical and competitive and strong defensively at times, and they frustrated Munster a lot, who had a lot of possession, as Fiona said. You know, 74% possession is a very, very high number, and the territory very, very high as well. So I just, when you watch the game back, you're trying to figure out why was that the case? Well, they couldn't get the ball back off Munster, and when they did, when Munster turned the ball over, it was very stop start, and they weren't able to build any sort of number of phases at any stage, and they never really stressed Munster at all. You know, 59 tackles in the game is incredibly low. You know, again, when I played, you're thinking, as a back row, you're going to have to make 15, 20 tackles in a game. Maybe not all the time, but you know, you're going to be in double figures, and the numbers are really low for all the Munster players because they just didn't have to make tackles. And so for Dwayne Peel and Scarlets, we're not obviously on to talk about the Scarlets and their issues, but they had 9 internationals start of the game, they had 4 off the bench, so really strange that they never got going at all. There was a vulnerability about the selection of this Munster side, that it wasn't the most powerful and strongest side in the world. And that's why I thought they caused Munster problems. They never got their attack game going at all. So, you know, again, really poor performance from them. The mistakes they made, they gave away 15 penalties. Their discipline was poor. I was really surprised. But look, Munster, I think you go in at halftime and you think, God, this is a dreadful watch for anyone who's tuned in or at the game. But then Munster did change gears in the second half, which is really important. And they started to get more energy, more speed of movement, more aggression around the breakdown. Their clean-outs were much better. Ethan Coughlin, the ball presentation was so much better. Paddy Patterson, when he came on, did really well. Brian Gleeson came on and, you know, he made a lot of good carries as well. Munster started up the ante a little bit. It's still one of those performances where you're kind of scratching your head. You get 5 tries, you win 29-8, and you're thinking, God, it feels good to get the bonus point win, but there was certainly plenty of things. And this is crazy when you think of the stats, that, you know, Scarlets would have loads to look at, but Munster still were sloppy at times, particularly that first half. And, you know, better teams and better performances from teams, because I still think that's a good Scarlets team who were just dead in their feet. You know, some of the errors and mistakes Munster made would have frustrated them. But you've got to give them credit for keeping at it and upping the pace and the physicality and the intensity in that second half, and they got the job done. So, you know, the turnovers lost was something they mentioned. They'd only 8 missed tackles in the game, again, when the tackles are so low. Their carries 195 to 47 to the Scarlets, 260 passes to 68 passes for the Scarlets. So it's crazy stuff. And you could argue that Munster should have scored more tries and should have been more ruthless and more accurate in what they were doing. And it could have been a much bigger win. But given it was 3 weeks off, and maybe that was the issue for the Scarlets, that, you know, we spoke about the preparation in between these games. If you get a good performance and a good win, well, you did things pretty right. But ultimately, you just can't beat playing matches at times. And both sides were probably guilty of being a bit rusty. And but in the overall context of it, some really good performances from some individuals and a really important 5 points gathered on the night.
I was going to say, Fiona, I mean, like, how much of Munster's, I suppose, poor first half performance is down to that 3 week gap in between matches?
Yeah, and we chatted about this as well, Rory, last week about the, you know, is it a good thing, or it probably is a good thing to rest a body in terms of that and injury wise getting people back. But sharpness, match sharpness, you know, in that intensive heat of battle, I suppose that first half, we did see a lot of errors. But to be fair to to the guys as well. There was in the games previous to that, they're in how they're trying to attack. There has been errors. There has been a bit of sloppiness. And we're probably yet to see that full 80-minute performance. Mm. So look, yes, it was at the start of the game. You can chalk that down to, you know, guys coming in,
We're Munster a little bit lateral in the first half. So people ask me, what changed? So if we're telling the listener, what changed here? For me, and obviously you can agree or disagree, I think we were quite lateral in that first half. Scarlett's kept fanning out, and you're resourcing the ball over back a lot, because neither team, 20 kicks from either side isn't a high number.
Yes.
I think the difference in the second half is, and I probably would say this myself sometimes, even as a player, when you play, just carry more aggressively, be more direct, try and win those little gain lines, increase the speed of the breakdown. And they're probably the elements that were much better for Munster. And that's why they started to build phases and stretch the Scarlets and make line breaks and get in behind them. So I think that's probably the difference. And the problem with this team at times, sometimes when they're hitting brick walls, is it's kind of shipping the ball on a lot. I think there was a bit different sort of impetus. Josh Witchley made a lot of really good carries. He was very good in the first half and prominent throughout the game. I think Ollie Yeager, at times tucked the ball, made good carries in that period in that second half. Kendellan Coombs, Brian Gleeson coming off the bench. I think that was the difference. They started to win little gain lines and get across the gain line. And then it's hard to set your defence. And that was probably the difference for me, that bit of intensity. I know Ian Costello said they were quite calm, and that's fine, and it obviously worked, but the messages have to come in. You get the tactical messages and you start kind of driving that as a player yourself. So there's certainly plenty for them to work on, but I would say going forward, you've got Edinburgh in 2 weeks, then you've got Glasgow. You'll get punished if you're that much lateral, and you get punished at the breakdown. So there's the balance, and looking back on it is a little bit more of that aggressive ball carrying and aggressive clean outs helped him a lot in that second half.
Yeah, 100%.
Sorry, trying to go on.
No, I'm saying, that's 100%. And I think, like Munster, obviously, they like to play to an edge. That's how they play. They go edge to edge. But you still have to get those carries. You still have to be going up the pitch, over the gain line. And certainly, at times, I think, yes, it was probably early in the game. You know that other defensive system is going to be set up. But Munster weren't. Their footwork in and around that contact area probably wasn't good enough. But certainly, the second half, a lot better.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode, where we will name our star of the week and we'll look ahead to Ireland and Wales in the Six Nations this weekend, you can become an Off the Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off the Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.